Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
It's such a joy to be able to worship the Lord together in this season. Praise God. Often it's helpful to live in context. What has happened in the past history, and I was thinking this week about the context. People have gone on before us that paid the price for the time period they were in. Last week we had Veterans Day, and one of the things that happens is you see on that day, maybe a couple of more days, that some of the movies of the past that seem to, again, in their period, people had to pay a price to live freely. We are so grateful you are here, that we can worship the King of Glory with freedom. And that was not so many years ago. And even today, in regions of the world. So we want to take time to thank the Lord and really appreciate what He has done and what He is doing now. I took a moment to see one of my favorite adventure movies. I don't know why I ended up over the years. There's a movie called Where Eagles Dare. And it's Richard Burton and Clint Eastwood are the main heroes. And it's again about the Second World War and how they outsmart the Nazi plans and are able to come out in victory. I didn't know, but I read an article that every Christmas time in England, Great Britain, they try to play that as it's one of their Christmas movies. As I don't know how that could be a Christmas movie, except it's wintertime and snow and all that. But so many years ago, really almost 400 years ago, the pilgrims came and they laid the foundations to our society as they were persecuted by the Church of England. And then they went to the Netherlands for some freedom. And then a few years later, they decided they wanted that they were guided to go found a colony or be helpful in planting themselves in the United States. And they went through some tremendous suffering. And today we want to take a moment to just examine the price they paid, and yet they were so centered on the Word of God and what they agreed on, which was called, as they were sailing towards the colony they were going to found, called the Plymouth Colony. They made a compact with each other. There were a lot of casualties, a lot of people died in the winter storms and the bad weather. But their focus was on the Lord. Before they landed, they had this agreement that they would obey certain laws. And basically, the guidance came from the Bible. They were believers and committed to the Word of God. And those were the foundations that were laid for us. In about 10 and a half days, we're going to have Thanksgiving. Now, traditionally, we used to have our friends, our family, and invite as many as we could. But now, in some parts of this nation, because of the constrictions, supposedly of the virus, COVID virus, all that, in some states, they are thinking of putting restrictions so you can get together with only 5 people or at the most 10 people. I forget.
And no singing.
Huh? And no singing. Correct. So That's why we are so grateful we can, with gusto, give praise to the living God. By the way, we want to thank Michael Nykum, Janet Jablinski, Whitaker Dry, Dennis Denton, Danielle Denton, and Travis Moodoo. Give them a big clap, will you? Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. And so being able to be together here, I was saying at the beginning to someone that it is really even it's an act of worship greater than ever. It's a time where there are certain authorities, just like it was some centuries ago, the Church of England so persecuted believers that some were even executed. But there was a lot of persecution. That's why the ones who founded the Plymouth Colony, all that, they were persecuted. They wanted, their priority was to be able to free, to worship the living God. And
if I can just make a remark on that part, it's interesting because in my education period, which was when God created dirt, we had these things in our history books from the time we were in first grade. We had these stories. And their language creates culture, and the language has been slowly changed and evolving by academia. And academia is completely given to the left, period. So our textbooks today and the things being taught to our children, this generation is completely detached, personally, identificationally, from the real history, the real Christian and Judeo-Christian history of the United States. And that's a very important aspect of what we see happening in our nation today, but also what is incumbent upon the church and in the current language, if they talk about the pilgrims, who called themselves, by the way, saints, in the Bible, and if they speak about them in the history books in terms of the great event of those first brave ones who came, they use the word religion. But that was not, it wasn't like a multiplicity of religions. The religion of the Church of England was Christian religion. And they were moving themselves from the orthodoxy because they wanted to more purely follow the New Testament, to worship in that way, in that freedom, rather than the state-approved version of what Christianity was. But I just want to say, the whole conversation and whole event of America was not about various religions. It was specifically about Christianity, the Christian religion. And Pastor Mahesh is referring to the Mayflower Compact. If you've never read Peter Marshall's book, The Light and the Glory, you must, because it gives that the core, the heartbeat of the Christian history in America's founding and the struggle of things. It's really beautiful. But the Mayflower Compact, it was signed on November 11th, which we just came through this week. So we are historically in the moment that the very first legal document, government contract, covenant, was cut by those original folks who came to America specifically to worship Jesus Christ. And the journals of the persons who were present, the historical account of the writing of the Mayflower Compact, was this covenant among the people who survived that 66-day terrible passage. And as they came to the shores of America, they made this agreement with one another and they signed it. In the name of God, amen, we whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign Lord King James, by the grace of God, of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King Defender of the Faith, the Church of England, supposedly, having undertaken, this is the important part, the description of their mission, having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do by these present solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one another, covenant and combine ourselves together in a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends aforesaid, the advancement of the Christian faith and the establishment of the kingdom of God. And by virtue hereof, do enact, constitute, and frame such just and equal laws. And it goes on, ordinances, acts, constitutions, and offices from time to time as shall be thought most meet and convenient for the general good of the colony, unto which we promise all due submission and obedience, in witness whereof we have hereunder subscribed our names at Cape Cod, the 11th of November, in the year of the reign of our sovereign Lord. So on and so forth, 1620. And this document, as many know, was also one of the foundational pieces that inspired the Constitution of the United States and the subsequent Declaration of Independence. Why is it important? It is important just as it is important as God continued to tell the children of Israel, and we have it inscribed in so many places in the prophets and in the Psalms, to remember the acts of what he has done in the arc of his redemptive history and what is recorded for us that we might teach it to our children. It's very important. And that this piece is one of the main missing pieces that has given us this chaos, division, and crisis, identificational crisis that America, unique among nations, is in today. And we do have some of those things for you, by the way, just to remind you, in our little booklet, God Shed His Grace on Thee. There are a couple of portions that need to be updated, but it's filled with little excerpts of the real Christian history of the founding of this nation. And more than ever, it's important for our children because they're being removed from that history. And it's leaving them open to deceptions and an identificational crisis that is, in this moment, being dumbed down to skin color. So, God shed his grace on the America. Amen. Thank you, Amen. Pastor.
Amen. And these are important things for us to understand. Of course, it's based on the Word of God. So we look to the Word of God in the final analysis. But it's important for us to realize the context, what these people went through, and where they landed in the Plymouth colony, where they founded the Plymouth colony. They were originally going to settle in Virginia, northern Virginia, but there were so many storms and they had such bad weather. Finally, they landed at the Plymouth area. And years ago, in fact, it was around 1974 that my good friend Jim Croft and I, we were kind of like an apostolic team, and part of our assignment was to go preach one of the opportunities we had, or in invitations, go to Boston and around there and around Harvard, do a service for evangelism. Now, before, at that same time, Campus Crusade had spent $200,000 for witnessing and telling people about the Bible, but the people who did that did not believe or did not ask the Holy Spirit and release the power of the Holy Spirit. So we were there as pioneers And we had a service, I remember, in a aspect of Harvard University. And we were packed out. And one of the unusual things was that we were praying and welcomed the Holy Spirit, and a wind came into this upper room that every window was snapped open. And there was a great wind that surrounded us. Everybody went on the floor in worship because we knew there was someone there that was greater than anything we had ever known. And a whole, there were 56, I remember, 56 decisions for Jesus in that small hall who came running up to give their lives to Jesus. It was one of the memorable things. But at that time, we went to look at there was a statue of the Plymouth Colony and some of the founders, and it was quite educational. But what I want to point out is that they were willing to endure, literal starvation. They did not have food. And were not aware of how to get a harvest, all of those things. Now, later, they had friendship with the native tribes and learned how to plant corn and barley. I don't know whether you have ever eaten barley, but my mother used to make special bread out of barley. And you have from the Indian background, there is a way you make curries and then you have a loaf or a bread made out of barley. So they ate barley. There was a diary of this man called Winslow, Edward Winslow. In 1621, here is his diary. I'm quoting from it. Our harvest of corn came in well. God be praised. And everything, they really wanted to exalt the Lord. We have had good increase of Indian corn. Barley crop was also good. By the goodness of God, we are now far from want. But they never wanted to forget that God was the one who gave them the harvest. But the first harvest, the first season that they were in, yeah. I don't know if some of you got this little. Did you get that? And it was for a reason. Keep it for a few days. There are 5 kernels of corn. And some years ago, I shared this, not recently, but during the first days, they didn't have much to eat, and they distributed what there was. By the way, they tried doing things how the communists, Marxists, want to run things, and it would not work. That system absolutely failed.
Because some people figured out that they didn't have to work and they would still get, their equal share of everything that everybody else worked for. And for that reason, they said, we're not doing this anymore. No work, no eat. Oh, wait, that's what the Bible says. And that also is a piece of America's founding and why we have such a visceral reaction, those of us who hold to strictly to a Judeo-Christian ethic and that influence in America. That's why there is and should be, frankly, such a revulsion of the socialist / communist Marxist ideology. It's absolutely antithetical, maybe not to other nations, but certainly to our nation and to the inheritance that we have been given definitively by God in down through the arc of America's founding and history. And one of the beautiful stories in these times of tremendous existential crisis of our founders and the people who have gone before us in the 1620, 21, 22, the harvest scenario was a disaster, and Mahesh is going to tell you a little more about it and why we have this today. But at a certain point when more than half of all of those ones who for their faith risked their lives and everything to come and found a new colony here. Originally there had been two ships. There were about 102 or so of these passengers. There were two ships, and right out of harbor from Plymouth, the Speedwell developed a bunch of leaks. They had to turn around and go back, and everybody on the Speedwell loaded onto the Mayflower. The Mayflower was only 80 by 24 feet, and you had 102 plus 26 crew members or something. They were not passenger ships, they were cargo ships. And so the deck in which these 102 people were crammed, it was 5.5 feet tall, so not everybody could even stand up in there. And that many people were crammed in that space for 66 days of horrible storms to cross the Atlantic. That was before anything else. And then as starvation and deprivation came upon them, finally, what they did, and it's an incredible story written in the journals, they called a day of prayer and fasting, and the whole community went into the church house and continued the entire day in prayer and fasting. It had been drought. Their crops had not produced anything the year before. They were on the brink of starvation. Their new crop had been in the ground. There had been no rain. It looked like everything was going to be lost, and it would be the end. And they spent the entire day in prayer and fasting. And in the evening, as they were there in the fading light inside the church house, there came a soft and gentle rain. And it rained like that. A thunderstorm would have washed all of their seeds away. The ground was so parched, they would have lost that harvest. But as they were finishing that day of prayer and fasting, there became this soft and gentle rain, and it continued and perfectly watered the ground, and that harvest came up, and as a result of that harvest, we had our first Thanksgiving celebration that year. So, Pastor, thank you. Go on with your five.
So, to honor those first days, like, they could distribute the everybody else. In the initial days, had 5 kernels of corn.
Yeah, on their plate.
On their plate. This was what they had.
For dinner.
And they remembered these days. So as the day in the years to come, they would put a plate with 5 kernels of corn and let people share each of the kernels. They would give 5 reasons. And if you wanted to, you could tell the congregation, tell the people what you are thankful for that year. And that's why the year afterward, Edward Winslow was able to put in his diaries, look, we had a good crop of barley and a good crop of corn. And that's how they began. There was nobody else helping them. They had to do it on their own. But they learned. They cannot live in chaos. There cannot be a mob. There had to be order. So the Mayflower Compact was the initial one. But you'll find, I mean, our laws, even today, now, we go look back, and all of this started with the Mayflower Compact. And all of that was done based on the Bible. They loved the Bible. They loved, in fact, one of the small facts that's interesting is they loved Hebrew. And they learned, some of them learned, were those committed to learn the Hebrew language because they thought there was going to be restoration of Israel. So those are some interesting things. But in that context, I wanted us to read the Word of God. This was one of the scriptures that inspired them. It's, of course, written by King David. And it was in his older days that he saw, this has happened in my life, I want to share. And God inspired him to share this in Psalm 103. If you look at it, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. So as we are looking in 10 days, you could, I don't know whether you're planning to have turkey. You know, I'd never had turkey until I came here. And I'm an adopted American. I was born in Kenya, Africa. But it's funny how those who are adopted sometimes are even more grateful. I'm so grateful for America. I'm so grateful for the freedoms we have. And other places don't have these freedoms. So God bless America.
We have been hearing from so many saints, from Nicaragua to Cuba to Venezuela and so many places and across Europe, who have histories of this struggle with the tyranny of communism, that are looking and praying for America because they're watching the current events unfold in the same ways that their freedoms were taken away under the socialist communist revolution idea. So we have an inheritance and a responsibility and a stewardship. And one of the things about Thanksgiving, and you will hear us, we are going to be wallowing in Thanksgiving prophetically for a reason during this month. And a couple of the additional things about the history of this time period in our nation's evolution and struggle is that it was during two periods of war on this continent, not foreign wars, on this continent, that Thanksgiving specifically was laid hold of and revived as a national holiday. The first time was during the American Revolution, and the Continental Congress designated one or more days of Thanksgiving a year. And then in 1789, George Washington, as president, issued the first Thanksgiving proclamation by the national government of the United States. And in it, he called on Americans to express their gratitude for the happy conclusion of the country's war of independence and the successful ratification of the U.S. Constitution. So Thanksgiving is a commemoration and an acknowledgement to God of the very foundations of this nation. So you can see why this year, Christians, it's very important that we enter in again in harmony with our heritage, with the American identity. Incredible, the similarities there and the big issues that are contingent upon us now. And then secondly, a woman named Sarah Josepha Hale, who is famous for the Mary Had a Little Lamb song, she waged a 30-year campaign to establish Thanksgiving as a national holiday. And finally, lobbying President Abraham Lincoln, who finally heeded her request in 1863 at the height of the Civil War, he recognized that the whole nation needed to come together under God and have a Thanksgiving celebration. And so he issued a proclamation entreating all Americans to beseech the Lord and commend the nation and particularly the people who every family that had suffered loss in the Civil War commended to God's tender care and specifically to heal the wounds of the nation. And so he scheduled Thanksgiving for the final Thursday in November. And it was celebrated from therefore until Franklin D. Roosevelt. And Franklin D. Roosevelt tried to change the day because of the economic scenario, and he wanted to extend shopping time for people. And there was a huge revolt among Americans. They called it Franksgiving. And so, of course, it didn't get established like that. So that George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, from the Pilgrims, gave us this celebration of the final Thursday as Thanksgiving. This year, it's very important that we recognize and connect to our history. because those people all down through the ages have struggled and confronted tremendous challenge, and they renewed their faith and connected with the national heritage at this time of year.
And so as we look forward to Thanksgiving, it has been arranged, but we could say, well, this is political, all that there was. These all were spiritual desires from way back, from George Washington to the generation that went on, that we will give a special time to give thanks, and that it is based on the Word of God. And here, and then one of the sentiments is in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So even today, we want to emphasize that as we honor the Lord and what he has done for us individually, what he has done for us as family, as what he has done for us as the church, and as we hold up the name of Jesus, and forget not all his benefits. Why? He forgives all your sins. Say, he forgives me.
He forgives
so
me.
If I take one kernel, the kernel of forgiveness. So, Lord, I am grateful. I can worship you. And I am a saint of God. I have been washed. And I have been forgiven. And so the one kernel is for forgiveness of my sins. And then, and forget not all his, but he forgives all my sins, who heals all your diseases. So we look to him. We are grateful for all the other extras that we have of medical care, of penicillin. And right now they're claiming they're going to have in release in a matter of weeks a vaccination for the COVID virus. But we don't want to forget, it all is rooted in the Lord.
Thank
who heals
you,
all your diseases, and then who redeems your life from destruction. And this is part of the boundary around you, and we want to enunciate it, emphasize it, put it in our hearts that there has been a line around us of protection. We draw by, you know, in imagination, draw a line around you, around your family, because we have been, it says, he redeems your life from destruction. So there is an agent, an enemy, Satan.
Yep.
He has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus has come to give us life, and that more abundantly. So abundant life. Say abundant life.
Abundant life.
So that's part of our Thanksgiving, that we hold up some of this, if you want to. But I thought this time I wanted to really emphasize these different benefits that we have, and that the kernel of healing, and then the who satisfies, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. So loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things. Say good things.
Good things.
So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So you are getting renewed. You may
praise
be
the Lord.
70 years old. You may be 90 years old. Doesn't matter. He's renewing your youth like the eagles. And I found out that the eagle, when it gets older, its beak starts deteriorating. So it isolates itself. And then at a certain time, the instinct tells us, the eagle, to help the sea. It'll smash its beak against a rock, whatever, and it's the old beak goes away, and a new beak, the Lord allows it to grow. And I was telling Bonnie, I went for a walk on Monday. And usually after a walk, is over, I'll sit down and meditate on the Lord. And I was on this property meditating on the Lord. And I saw, I'd never seen this before. Sat and I saw there were either eagles or hawks. I couldn't tell. But I came home and I told Bonnie, this is the most unusual thing. I had 9 eagles, one by one, and there would be a break of about 5 to 7 minutes, and then another eagle would fly up over my head. And then another eagle would fly. There were 9 eagles that flew, and I said, Lord, what are you saying? And I felt like he took me to this scripture, one of the scriptures, Isaiah 40 is another one. But he satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. May he, as we give thanks to the Lord and take time to say, Lord, these are all your benefits. We are so grateful and thankful. And thankfulness you find in scripture is often the key for deliverance and healing. That your part is to thank the Lord and be grateful and express that. And his part is to bring renewal and youth, and he renews your youth like the eagles. The last part of the Psalm 103 says, again, God comes back. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of the Lord. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. And then bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So this is one. And then again and again, we have several scriptures of thanksgiving to the Lord. And so there is a point where he brings his love and compassion over you. And then the kernel of blessing that Deuteronomy 28 is one of my foundational, that used to be one of the favorites of our mentor and teacher, Brother Derek Prince. And he would, Deuteronomy 28, it lists the first scriptures, list all the blessings that God has given us, that he will defeat your enemies, that he will bless your household, and he will bless your economy, he will bless your finances, and he will bless whatever you touch will be blessed of the Lord. I mean, these are awesome things through the blood of Jesus that have been released to us, and remember that it's all because of the blood of Jesus. And that has been shed, not because we were anything special, but Lord chose us. And so your blood, the blood of Jesus, has put around you a line of protection. And the enemy cannot cross that line. So we want to exalt the Lord for us, for our children, our grandchildren, and all that's yours, your business. And that's why we have every right to pray, Lord, bless this business. May the Lord give you fresh ideas for new businesses. May your children be prosperous, whatever they decide to do. And that's part of the benefit. Forget not all his benefits. There are benefits that come to us because of God's goodness. And it is important for us to take note. Lord, thank you. You blessed me here. You blessed my car. That it has not given me any trouble all these 7 years, 10 years, or whatever. That God is renewing that thing, machine. Thank you, Lord. And you cannot thank the Lord enough. And then 1 Peter 2:9 goes to tell us, you are a chosen generation, a peculiar people, God's army, that he will do special things in you and through you. I am part of God's generation. And in Ephesians 5:8, he tells us, it is God who has taken you from the kingdom of darkness and transferred you into the kingdom of light. So we are creatures of light. And yes. This is where the demarcation is. And so yes. I'm glad that our ancestors here, physically in America, chose this day specially. Now, we should be every day thankful to the Lord. But bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Where we take them for granted, this would be a good time to repent. Say, Lord, sorry, I have taken all your any and all your my blessings for granted. So the thanks we give, above all, is not to any government agency or even friends. First of all, we give thanks to the living God. Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I won't run out of my thank yous for all the blessings you have given me, my children, my family, our church, our nation. I'll tell you, before this virus, and may the Lord give us an awesome victory over this virus. I believe he's going to turn it around because our economy was supernaturally blessed until this virus came in. Now, even then, our economy is going on top. It is blessed supernaturally. But I am praying that he heals all our diseases. Therefore, this COVID virus, it will be defeated in the name of Jesus. So, in a few moments, by the way, we will take communion together. I felt like in preparation of Thanksgiving, it would be good for us to take communion together and in our hearts and list all the blessings that we enjoy. Forget not any of his benefits. He does this. He heals your diseases. He renews your youth like the eagle. The angels are protecting you, and they have been released. Part of the example of how God is doing this is for us in Exodus 12, where God has given specific instructions for us to put the blood on the doorposts and lintels of our houses.
Amen.
So we're going to get ready to take communion in a few moments. Make sure you have these elements so we can take the communion together. Were you wanting to share, Vaughn? Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Glory
Jesus.
To God.
Thank you.
Praise God. Amen. So, is there anybody who has came a little bit late and did not get a chance to receive? You can wave your hand. I can't see at the back. And those at home, join us in taking communion together. And go get some wine or grape juice and some bread. And we are going to take the communion elements together. Never forget. That was a learning for me. I interned for a whole year. It was like I was. God arranged this time years ago. This was in Macon, Georgia, that I had to help a pastor who had been pastor for many years, but I had to help in different ways to take care of him. He was going through a special season of challenge. But I stayed month after month and learned as a young pastor. I was just a young pastor. I got my ordination papers from that church in Macon. But he was a big believer in community. Then my adventure was very much attached to Brother Derek Prince. And he would always, when we were traveling, he would emphasize the communion and the power and the anointing that is released in our lives as we determine to take communion. And the more people there are, the better it is. In some ways, I would say that, well, wherever it's practical, that we take it as families, we look to the Lord in all of this, and know that He is going to give us safety in the coming days, that He is going to give us protection in the coming days. We are in a time where the enemy activity has been going on. Some of the major cities have gone through some real topsy-turviness of violence coming, being tolerated in many branches. Well, we are praying in welcoming the Spirit of the Lord, that Lord, we look to You to give peace. The Mayflower Compact is an example for us that the spiritual ancestors in America, in whose memory also we are thankful they started this whole thing of Thanksgiving. But it is so appropriate. We believers know that to give praise to Him every week. We come together saying, "Thank You, Lord," and exalting His name. But as a custom, every American will participate in the Thanksgiving meal. And we recognize why we are doing it. And we do not take all these blessings for granted. And may the Lord continue to give us freedom so we have been forgiven and healing has been released for us. And the whole concept of blessing from the Lord, He's making us the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Lord, as we choose not to give thanks to a government or any human agency, we choose to give thanks to the living God. And Psalm 103 is such a blessed psalm. It says, "Choose not to forget. These are the benefits supernaturally that you are getting," and gives and celebrate the name of Jesus Christ. So we're going to take these elements. And I want to say again, thank you for all those who are tithing. And this is a good time now to remember your tithe and your offering. And we receive tithes as a household of faith, a house of prayer, the church of the living God. So we appreciate and receive every offering, every tithe. You can make your checks out to All Nations Church, and you can make a check. I mean, and you can, the offering baskets are right here at the altar. But you can also give by means of the World Wide Web and by internet. Go to give.allnationschurch.us. Amen. Her sister is holding up the phone. It says, "My screen time was down." I said, "What message am
it's
I getting?"
Thing. That's a good one.
But you can give by going to give.allnationschurch.us, your tithes and offerings, or make the checks out. We're going to take communion, and then as we go to worship, you can bring your check. You'll find an envelope in this seat pocket behind you, so you can take advantage that way. I'm going to go in and get the bread. Today, I'm having... No, it's there. It's quite an adventure. Sorry. Next time I'm going to bring my own bread.
Tell me, you should do a YouTube you know, thing where you're do, you know, how they do review products and stuff, and you should just do a little YouTube instructional manual and then
yeah,
have it there to learn and relearn if you need to.
That's one of my ushers, have mercy on me and get me out of one of this. It's
open it for him.
I think my nails are gone.
It's the best.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Yes, sir.
I'm never going to ask you to change the tire on the car.
Thank you very much. So we are going able to take communion. Those joining us on the web, do so. And let us take this opportunity. It's a real privilege to be able to do it as a family of God. So all of you on the web also join us and let strength come to you. Let glory come. The benefits. Forget not all his benefits. Well, though, we want to recall, of course, you have been forgiven. And he renews your youth like the eagle. So there is new supernatural strength coming. Mental strength, physical strength, emotional strength that is coming. And restoration for you, for your family. If there is a member of your family who's kind of walked away, drifted away from the presence of the Lord, you can bless them. And I want to tell you, I'm feeling more and more the Lord's giving us words of knowledge about specific names of people whom the Lord is reaching out to and bringing them home, where there's someone taken by the power of drugs. We break that shadow, the curse of addiction in the name of Jesus. If there is any kind of in your neighborhood, in your city, that is drug trafficking, we break that power in the name of Jesus. Where there is mob violence, we say supernatural shalom come over the area where you live, your city, or wherever you are. The glory of God settles on that, and we rebuke the devourer. We rebuke every power of Satan. May you have shalom. May you have great rest. The enemy cannot disturb you or your children. So hold up the bread.
Thank you.
It says Jesus took the stripes on his back. And I'm claiming by his stripes we are healed.
Thank you.
Say, by his stripes.
By his stripes.
We are healed.
We are healed.
Me and my family.
Me and my family.
My loved ones.
My loved ones.
The church.
The church.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's partake. Amen. And I am blessed. I'm at the wine place, at the grape juice.
Thank you, Jesus.
This represents the shed blood of Jesus by faith. The Lord said himself that we could remember him and what it did. And so this is to refresh us. And I never get tired of taking communion and remembering the awesome, awesome, awesome things he has done. He has forgiven me. I never have to fear death. Absent in the body, present with the Lord. And praise God. When my assignment is over, I'll be happy to join all the communion of saints out there cheering us on. Hallelujah. But through the blood,
amen, Lord,
every curse is broken.
Amen, Jesus.
So any kind of shadow over you,
thank you,
we're going to kick that thing out in Jesus' name boldly. We are together, and we join our strength to your strength, and you're going to have emotional, mental strength. Spirits of anxiety and depression are going in the name of Jesus. No supernatural attack. Every demonic power, we bind you in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Say, there is power
Power.
You know the hymn, the power and the wonder-working power of Jesus. Anyway, Father, I thank you. We are the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Any attack from the enemy has to flee 7 different ways, whether the attack is on us, on our children, on our business, it has to go in the name of Jesus. We release prosperity and provision for each and every family. We bless you. And any shadow of any infirmity or disease, we take authority in Jesus' name through the blood. Through the blood. You are blessed. Through the blood. You are the head.
Thank you, Jesus.
Through the blood.
Thank you, Lord.
You are strengthened. Your youth,
yes,
through the blood,
thank
is
you.
Renewed like
thank
the eagle.
Thank you. Thank
mentally,
you.
Emotionally, physically, you are strengthened.
Thank you, Jesus.
Even today, I bless the cup in the name of Jesus. This is the cup of blessing, the blood of the Lamb, in Jesus' name. Say, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Let's
Amen.
Partake.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Put your hand on yourself. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name, take this healing touch for yourself.
Thank you, Lord.
For all your sons and daughters, angels are being loosed to bless them. In the name of Jesus. Supernatural blessing.
Yes.
For your heart, for your kidneys, for your liver.
Thank you, Lord.
For your blood circulation. Blood pressure will become normal, will be blessed. High blood pressure, we break power of the curse in the name of Jesus. Diabetes, we break any curse. Thank you, Lord. This COVID virus, Father, I thank you. Any family affected by it, give them victory, Lord. Quick recovery. We bind that infection. Thank you, Lord. We claim for each of us here, or every family and that on the World Wide Web, we so bless you. Thank you. Mighty power is coming to you. The spirit of renewal is coming to you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his blessings, his benefits. He is forgiving you of your sins. He's healing all your diseases. He's redeeming your life from destruction. He's crowning you with loving kindness and tender mercies. And he's satisfying your mouth with good things.
Yes.
So that your youth is renewed like the eagle.
Yes.
We used to imitate the wings of eagles. Say, so you're going from height to height. It's amazing how the eagle looks at a storm and says, oh, a storm, how wonderful. I'm going to take the power of the storm and get higher. And the higher it goes, the more it sees its territory and what God has reserved for him or her, whatever. The eagle can see for 5 miles. It's all regular vision and see the provision from a rabbit to whatever else, and partaking of it. May your wings be renewed like the eagles, and may your children prosper. I will never forget in the Cameroons, one of the main cabinet ministers came and during our service and said, my daughter, we sent her to Paris, they were French speaking, for further education, and she was captured by drugs. And then she became a prostitute in the Paris suburbs. And they brought her picture, and something rose up in me. I said, all right, give me that picture in the name of Jesus. You foul spirit, let her go. Lord, restore this daughter back to its family.
Amen.
And they had not heard from one word from her for 5 years. And a few hours later, she phoned from Paris, France, to It was Ivory Coast, Côte d'Ivoire. And her mom and dad were just, couldn't believe it. The daughter said, please send me a ticket. I want to come home. And then her life was saved. But it happened right in a matter of hours. And the Lord wanted to underline, this works. This works. Rely on me. Yes. I want to do great miracles for you and your family. So I believe today, as we are together, God is doing great miracles. And we are focusing. November 26th is a special day. And I don't know, in some areas they're saying they may, part of the this nation, certain parts are even more stricter because they're saying they may not let but five people get together for, we'll just leave it at whatever. We got five colonels, is that what you're saying? But Lord, we thank you.
Amen, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For the blessings of communion.
Amen.
Praise God.
I'm going to bring your tithes and offerings. We have baskets here. For those of you watching online, you can go to give.chavdaministries.org.
Praise God. This is a scripture I just began to quote. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 says, but you, say me, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So you have royalty. As you receive Jesus, something supernatural has happened to you. You are a royal priest. You are a kingly priest. Like David, like Solomon. A royal priesthood, a holy nation. His own special people. That's God's special people. That you may proclaim, therefore, because of this, you are authorized and you have the anointing to proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Isn't that the wonderful mercy of God? We are from different races and people and languages and tribes. I was raised with Gujarati and Hindi and some Swahili. Now, it doesn't matter which race, which tribe. Out of every tribe, every race, he has washed you in the blood. And you are chosen. Say, I'm chosen by the living God. I'm a royal priest. I'm a holy nation. I'm his own special person. I've been ordained to proclaim the praises of Jesus Christ, who has called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once we were not a people, but now I belong to the family of God. I have obtained mercy. I thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. I thank you. You have saved me. You have delivered me. You have translated me. You have redeemed me. You have forgiven me. Awesome God. Give him a big clap offering. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.